We appreciate it. Here we go. Parshat Bechukosai, Shabbat Chazak. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Ha'olam Shehakol Nehiyah Bedvaro. So, this Parshat Bechukosai, is theologically, is a very complex Parsha. In the sense that we know that the Tochacha, the rebuke, is in this parsha, but the Torah very clearly lays out this concept that we believe in of schar ve'onesh, of reward and punishment, right? Of if you do the right thing, then great, and you'll get your rain, and you'll do this, and you'll do that, and everything's going to be wonderful. And if not, then a whole bunch of really horrible things will happen. But don't worry, Hashem still loves you, Hashem still loves us, right? And we have a covenant and, we'll be okay. We'll get through this together, even though these things are going to happen. And the complicated theological issue is like, we know it doesn't necessarily always work this way, number one, right? We know that, things aren't always so linear, right? That there's a cause and effect. There's a, you do something wrong and then you're punished. Or you do something right. And then you get rewarded, and all of a sudden you do something right, and then you get punished, right? And it's like, what does this mean, right? You can't. We walk. Some people, they walk around with like a dark cloud over them. God hates me. I know people like that. God's punishing me. It's because what I did. Blah 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 blah. We don't believe that. Like we actually really don't believe that. We believe that we have a role in this world. We believe that we're supposed to do the best we can, right? For sure. Keep the mitzvos, lead a fulfilling life, lead a meaningful life, right? Figure out how to create a connection with God, with the Jewish people, with others, with humanity. And stuff happens, right? And we know that. We know that's sort of how it works. So that's like one issue to deal with. And we'll see, a little bit that addresses that. The other issue is the question of, even if you say that they're, let's just say, traditional approach. It's like, well, where do you get your rain and where do, if good things happen? So there is an approach that says that, that's collective and it's on specifically Eretz Yisrael, right? Think about the Jewish people in the times of the Nevi'im, in the times of the prophets, right? When there was prophecy and Ruach HaKodesh, we understood God was sending us messages, and so we knew what those messages were. So, okay, he'll withhold the rain, he'll give rain, right? Things will go well, things won't go well, you'll get exiled, all of that stuff. We could say, okay, fine, maybe that's in Eretz Yisrael, and we have a box that we could put it in. But now, here, I can't, I'm not going to draw, this happened, God forbid, you used to get terrible, when terrible things would happen, you'd have some, pastor or some rabbi type person, right, who maybe we probably never heard of, who's like, oh, this happened because of that, right? Or this happened because of that. And unfortunately, we know that evil, sometimes just happens and we don't really have the answers and we can't pretend to know the answers. But all of that being said, that's a this world thing. What about the next world thing, right? When we talk about getting reward and punishment, really, the reward and punishment is a next world thing. It's an Olam Haba thing, right? It's what's going to be in the next world. We believe in the eternity of the soul. We believe in an Olam Haba. So the bigger question is, that we're going to address here, is why doesn't the Torah tell us anything about Olam Haba? Yeah, you ever think about that? Like, it says, reward and punishment here in this world, and then everyone's like, yeah, but it doesn't really mean that. But it doesn't even say, if you do this, you're going to get wonderful things in Olam Haba. You'll get here, right? They'll say, it'll be good. And then it'll say, L'tov L'cha, and it'll be good for you here. And they said, no, not here, not in this world. It's from the next world. Oh, you do Kibbut Abba'im, respect your parents, then you'll have Arichut Yamin. I know someone who did Kibbut Abba'im, and it didn't work out that way, right? Present company excluded. Right, so Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean Arichut Yamim in this world. It means Arichut Yamim in the next world. Well, why did the Torah tell us that? Why doesn't the Torah talk about Olam Haba?
In a couple of places it says if you do certain things, your life will be extended.
In where?
Why not?
No. Where? In this world or the next?
Uh,
That's what I'm saying, right? So the way it seems like it's talking about this world, right? And then the rabbis always say, nah, some of the next world. But even so, like, why wouldn't it say it? Why wouldn't it be more explicit? Why wouldn't the Torah be more explicit about the next world? We hear, you know, we have things, there are Gemaras, there are Talmudic, you know, descriptions, and there are different, you know, Sfarim that talk about this stuff. But why isn't it in the Torah itself?
Isn't Kibud Avim like the Yariku Nemecha Al Hadama Asher? Isn't it like...
That's Laman Yirbu Yemechem Al Hadama.
Okay, whatever.
Mix right. That refers to the first thing we were talking about, which is like, oh yeah, it's an Israel thing. Right.
Oh,
Israel. So,
if we knew what the prize was at the end, then we would just be doing the mitzvah to strive for that prize. But if we don't really know what the prize is, then we're always striving to do our best because there is a concept of a prize coming to us.
Okay, but the Torah doesn't even. The Torah doesn't even mention the prize. Doesn't the Torah doesn't?
It's only in the phrase. It says, for example,
I know that's where we were just saying that, right? But again, what does that really mean, right? What does everything mean? Because really, the Torah, the rabbis are going to say, oh, it doesn't mean this world; it really means the next world, right? So like, how do we fully understand? So let's try to. We're going to see some answers, okay? So if you look at the piece here, the Kli Yakar, he goes through. I don't think we're going to be able to get to every answer, but he's going to give us a whole bunch of answers as to like this question. And he brings it up based on a pasuk in the beginning of the parsha that says that, you know, if things go well and you do, you do right, you know, then things are going to go well and you're going to have, you'll be very fruitful and I'll keep my covenant with you and you'll be successful and prosperity, etc., etc. And then it says, "Vitalachti b'tochechem, I will walk with you, I'll walk in your midst, v'ayiti lachem le'elohim, and I'll be a God for you. V'atem tiyu li la'am, and you'll be my nation, and you'll remember this is who I am." So Rashi says, what does it mean, "V'italachti b'tochechem"? I will walk in your midst. So it's interesting, because it seems like it's a biblical allusion. Who walked in somewhere, and God was like sort of walking in that midst, right? In midst of that space. Adam, right? It says that Adam and Chava were in Gan Eden, right? In the Garden of Eden. They're in Gan Eden, and they're walking, you know, and they're there. And it says that Hashem, you know, the Ruach Elohim was Bagan, right? That God was there. God was walking with them. So Rashi says, Atayel, I'll just read you the whole Rashi. Atayel etchem, Imachem b'Gan Eden, I will walk with you. Atayel, by the way, what does that really mean?
It's like
we're gonna spatzir. That was the good Yiddish word, right? We're gonna have a spatzir together. Right? We're gonna like hang out. We're gonna schmooze. We're gonna hang out. We're gonna chill in Gan Eden. Ke'achad mikem, just like you. We'll be like one. We'll be like bros. V'lo tiyu mizdazim meni, and you won't be afraid of me. We'll just be like, we'll be hanging out together. It'll be wonderful, and it'll be in Gan Eden. Okay. So says the Kli Yakar. Da'ato l'saleik me'al Toratenu HaKadosha, kol to'enu me'arer. What's happening here is Rashi wants to take away, remove from us, from people who look at the Torah and have claims against it. And they wants to remove those claims. Ha'omer yeshli makom lalun velomar me'achar shelo nizkar b'Torah ikar sachar l'neshama. Right, so that because people might say that since in the Torah it doesn't say anything about the reward for the soul, the spiritual reward we'll get. Look, it talks about physical, talks about the rain, the agriculture, and prosperity, and blah blah blah. Im kein vaday en koach b'mitzvot. Therefore, the Torah doesn't mention it. Therefore, the mitzvot have no; they don't have any spiritual reward. And the whole purpose of doing them is for this world. Look, it's right here. You know, wonderful. I'll get wonderful. You know, amazing shakshuka on Friday mornings. It's going to be gevaldik. Ha'achuz b'chav le'buz. He says that can't be. Uchvar nis oruru al safek zeh shleimim mechein rabim. And everyone sort of gets involved in this issue, in this complicated issue. Ubal beheter suffix ze sheva deos. And there are seven basic opinions to how this plays out. Zecharam ma'ariya barbanel b'chiburo, the Abarbanel, right, who we've heard of, the Abarbanel, he brings it up in his composition. Ve'arich b'hem, v'ani v'ati l'katzer b'chol l'ichol l'sadram po, I brought it here, k'dei l'hastim pi dovrei atap, al tarasin ha'kdosha, to shut the mouths of those who are speaking against, you know, our ancient Torah. Right, and again, essentially saying, oh, there's only reward in this world. The next world is like, no, that's not a thing. The Torah only mentions this world, so you know that's all there is, right? So and yeah, so adeh acha si das haramba. Okay, so let's start the Ramba. Shekol elu ayiudim enan ikara sachar b'chol raot ve'atovot shenizkru kam b'parsha zo heim medabrim me'inyan asarada monim levad. The Rambam's opinion speaks to the issue of why you're giving me physical reward. What does that even mean? And he says, yeah, it's not real physical reward. It's not saying you do this, that there's some linear, you know, equation. You do this, you'll get this. And you do this, then you don't get this. And so on and so forth. It's not what it is. The idea is that these are good things and bad things that will come about through the removal of impediments to his service, meaning v'ratzalomar she'im tishmor mitzvotai, that if you keep the mitzvot in this world, asir mimcha kol monim, I will take away the impediments to keeping the mitzvot. Kimil chamot v'chalayim v'ra'av v'yagot, I'll take away the wars and the the fighting and famine and and starvation and travail. So that you can serve God without any impediments to his service. Like, point is, ikara sachar shel olam haba ein anizkar kan. Doesn't talk about olam haba. Kedei sheyavod et boro lishma v'lam machman aschar ahu omi yerad ha'onesh ayem v'sef ramada. Basically, what the Rambam says is, the Torah doesn't give you any physical gashmius kind of reward. This bichukos, all it's saying is that, you know, if you do the mitzvot, so Hashem will, you know, it's like I like to say, right? If you come to shul, right? So during the week, right? Then you drive here, okay? So Hashem will, he'll help you get a, you know, a nice comfortable car that you could, meaning he'll help you to continue doing it. You do achnas ad orchim in your house. Right? You do, you take in guests and strangers and you're hospitable. Hashem will, ensure that you have a nice house or even a nicer house to be able to do it right in a positive way. Right? But if you don't do those things, the idea being, if you do, it's just one opinion, Jared, so let's hold off. Okay? But if you don't do those things, right, then the idea is Hashem's like, all right, you're kind of like on your own, right? You're like, meaning if you don't think about those things, you don't care about me, you don't think about God. Well, God's like, all right, fine. Nature just sort of, it's gonna happen, right? You think everything's nature. You think that there's no reason to do this stuff. All right, so whatever, this will happen or that will happen. So the idea is it'll facilitate your ability to do more mitzvot. That's where we have this idea. Schar mitzvah. What's the schar for a mitzvah?
Says
mitzvah. That the reward for a mitzvah is the ability or the opportunity to do another mitzvah. You know, sometimes you start doing one thing or you daven one day, this is good. We're going to daven again. You say a bracha, I'm going to do more. And then, you have more opportunity to do more of that. So, according to the Rambam, yeah, there's no physical reward written in the Torah, and there's no spiritual reward either. So he avoids the question altogether. Meaning, initially we started with the question, it's like, hey, you're telling us there's some physical reward or punishment for doing, in this world, for doing mitzvah. What about the next world? So Rambam's like, don't worry, we're not dealing with that. I want you to be, like you said, Moshe, I want you to be pure with me. I want you to do things for the right reason. I'm not going to tell you, do this. You're not a child, right? You're going to do it because it's the right thing to do. And you'll figure yourself out.
There's another reference early on in the text with Noah.
Okay.
Him, he comments with Noah. And Noah did not have an easy life. But at the same time that Noah is going through all his travail, God is still with him.
Right.
He has a relationship, and somehow or another, it beats his, it braces him, it gives him an amorphous sort of fulfillment. And when you look at the Hikavati,
yeah,
the Tokofem,
yeah,
there's a certain, can it be right to say, I am not going to abandon you, I'm going to make you as a nation purposeful. And because I am making you purposeful in this world, whatever happens has some sort of amorphous meaning. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And it doesn't mean that there isn't necessarily a payoff.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, for Noah, the payoff is, it's not a pleasant payoff.
Right. Right.
But in the moment, this is offering a certain sense of permanence, at least in our life.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful idea, and the truth is, I could expand on what you're saying because this v'italachti b'tochachem, it's the kind of the conclusion of this description of the reward, and then it moves into the negative stuff, and you know, one could make the argument that this is supposed to continue, right? Meaning, once you start off your relationship this way. Once it, God forbid, when things, you know, get hard, things get difficult, I'll still be with you to raise you, support you. Beautiful, beautiful. Shkoyah. Yeah, Jared, what is?
But doesn't it say that when the Mashiach comes, I will resurrect the dead or something like that?
So we're not talking about Mashiach or anything. We're talking about right here.
In the Torah, I thought it said that dead get resurrected.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. No. It doesn't say that, again, outright. I'm not saying that doesn't exist. What I'm saying is that it doesn't literally, right? Scripture doesn't say that. These are rabbinic expositions, right? As part of our tradition, you know, that help us understand that. Okay?
Ah.
Cool. All right, good. Hadeah, so that's one. That's the Rambam. Hadeah Shnia. So again, the Rambam sort of avoids the question. Right? It doesn't really mean that. Hadeah Shnia. Hidas HaRav Ibn Ezra. Beparshas HaAzinu. Third paragraph. Mizel Lashonu. ולפי דעתי, שהתורה ניתנה לכל, ולא לאחד לבדו, ודבר העולם הבא לא יבינו אחד מיני אלף, כי עמוק הוא. So the Ibn Ezra, he doesn't discuss, you know, why the physical stuff in this world, in the Torah, why we see that. But he does say about spirituality, about the spiritual world, he said, look, the Torah is given to everyone. The Torah is given to literally every person. And the only person who could really understand the notion of Olam Haba, of a spiritual existence, right? The infinite, right? We're finite beings. There's 1 in 1,000 people. If that, by the way, 1 in 1,000 means like 1 in 1,000,000, right? Who could really understand, you know, it's like Kabbalah, right? Who really understands the Kabbalah? I bet, you know, the stars that are learning, you know, at the Kabbalah Center, right? They don't really understand Kabbalah, and that's not real Kabbalah. Whatever, right? Ad kan lashona, vedato, lefisha kashel letzayer oto sachar. How can we describe that reward? Ki hagashmi lo yasig inyana ruchani. The physical, that's us, people, physical beings, can't fully comprehend something spiritual. The finite can't comprehend the infinite. Al kain elima haTorah davar amokzeh mina amon meirov kotzer datam. Therefore, says Ibn Ezra, the Torah decided, Hashem decided, you know, I'm just going to leave this out. Because, no one's really going to understand it, right? So maybe a few people understand it, right? And then, you know, and then that's fine for them. But most people either are going to misinterpret it, misunderstand it. And we know what happens when that happens. That's like, you know, bad stuff, right, happens. Right? Shabtai Tzvi type stuff, right? A false messiah, right? He's learning Kabbalah, he's doing terrible things, right? And or they'll just look at it and say, wow, the Torah is like so esoteric, like, I'm out. I'm not interested. Okay? Let's do what we'll do. We'll do one or two more. Hadea Shlishit. Hidat Rabbeinu Bachya Hazakim. Okay? Rabbeinu Bachya. Zecharo HaRav Ibn Ezra Parshas Hazinu Anatel Dvaro. V'gam Ramban Anatel Deazo. So he seems to like, oh, this is decent. I kind of like this, right? Rabbeinu Bachya, the Ibn Ezra brings him up, and the Ramban likes his opinion. V'hi. Shekol ha-Yehudim Shebatorah him lemala min hateva. That everything that happens, the stuff that, like, you know, that we see, right, that happens, it's actually supernatural. What do we mean? Shein zed davar TV sheyerdu geshamim mizman sheosin ha-mitzvot. It's not a normal, natural phenomenon that that you know, if you start doing mitzvot, you plant crops and you start doing mitzvot, all of a sudden it's going to rain. Like that doesn't make any sense, right? That's a supernatural kind of experience. And that rain will stop, right? Basically, you'll be, you know, you'll go hungry, God forbid, or you'll be, you know, challenged when you're not doing the will of God. That's what it says in the Torah, right? You do the will of God, you're going to get your rain, you're going to have crops, you're going to have prosperity. You don't forget it. Okay, so this is an awesome answer. What he says is that the reason why the Torah has to tell us about this sort of physical reward, right, in this world stuff, is because that's not normal. Like I said, right, what does it even mean, right? Could it even mean, could it really be that when good things, you know, so we could say, you know, in the times of prophecy, in the time, you know, Elio Anavi, Elijah the prophet, was able to say, you know what, God, I don't want there to be rain for, you know, for 5 months, right? That's what he said in the time of when he had the, who's the bad, when he's going against Ahab, and he's upset, the Jewish people, they're worshipping Baal, and they're worshipping, you know, idols, and he's like, no rain, no rain, and the rain stops. You know, that's not normal. So I have to tell you, you know what, that's going to happen. Some abnormal things could happen. Why? Because we have a special relationship. I want you to, you know, to do the right thing, to be on the right path. But when it comes to the neshama, why doesn't the Torah mention the reward that a soul will get? He says, that's not supernatural. That's not supernatural. Why? Because if we understand what a neshama is, what is a soul? A soul is infinite. By definition, the soul outlives the body. By definition, right? We don't believe it's like, oh, it's a nice thing. Oh, your parents' neshama shav and aliyah. It's a nice thing. You know, we say it to people to make them feel better. When their parent dies, say, oh, they're with you. I was at a wedding last night, Daniil Kamenetsky's daughter's wedding. They were Daniil and Heather. They were youth directors here a long time ago. And Daniil's father passed away a few years ago. And he was an incredible, incredible human being. He died very suddenly. It was very sad. It was hard. It was seeing his mom walk down the aisle. And, you know, we believe that the neshama of the departed is there at the wedding. We believe that. A nice thing that we say, no, that's natural. Because if you believe in a soul, if you believe in the eternity of the soul, of the immortality of the soul, if you believe that there's an infinite world, that the soul is a piece of God, so if you believe in God, you believe that a soul is immortal, is eternal. And they're always there, they're always with us. The achar shematzinu b'torah onesh karetz el hanefesh hachoteis. So since we see a concept of karetz, right, if a person sins, they get karetz. What is karetz, right? You're cut off. Your soul is cut off. That the soul is cut off from its source, from its, you know, life-giving force. That's Hashem. So we could learn from there. We could extrapolate from there that if you don't sin, that your soul will return to its source. That your soul will become back a part of Hashem's world, just like it was before we were born. It'll be like that after we're born, after we pass. To where its tent was before. From the fact that there's this concept of kares to wicked people, that kare, again, that they get cut off from their life-giving force. Imagine, God forbid, plugging something out, right? You know, being literally unplugged from your source, right? That's in a physical world, the same thing for the neshama. That's it. Unplugged. That, right? It's done. Ki yesh schar nafshi. Shira mamucha Hashem l'resh yisera tzachayim. Ki tala nefshin kum chatzba. Min yitzrich lachis nefsh arashoyim misham. So again, what he says is, Hashem has to tell us about reward and punishment in this world, because in the next world, that's natural. We should know there's a neshama. We should know there's a soul. Right, the word neshama, by the way, comes from, how do you say breathe in Hebrew? No, shame. A nishima is a breath, right? Why is the word neshama, right? Notice that, like, a life-giving force, an animal doesn't have a neshama. No offense to animal lovers, they did. An animal has a nefesh. An animal has a living soul, as an animal soul, a nefesh, right? There's life in that person. But a neshama comes from the word nishima. Who breathes? Not just us. Not just that we breathe. That we believe that Hashem, Vayipach be'apav nishma chayim, that Hashem breathes within us a soul. That's how we have a soul. Where does it come from? When you breathe, the Zohar says, when you breathe, I don't know, you blow up a balloon. Where does that air come from? It comes from inside of you. So if the Torah says that Hashem breathed a soul within us, what it's saying is there's a piece of God within us. So if you believe in God, you believe in the soul. If you believe in the soul, you believe in God. Right? And then we know that you know, naturally, that's what's going to be. That's what's going to make sense. So to close, we'll have done these three. So just look at the Kli Yakar, how he closes. If you flip the page, he says, "V'shiva drachim." We got three today. Maybe we'll do more next year. Yanusu adobro to attack al Torah Seinu Kedosha. I have a little bit of those who are attacking want to say that the Torah is, you know, sort of lacking in any way. Nivad masharinu ve'inenu kama gadlach ibad Hashem el avotenu Abraham Yitzchak ve'Yakov. He said, you know, aside from the fact that we've seen how much Hashem loves Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarif, Garach, Avalei, how much He loves the Jewish people. V'ilu haita atzlachatam ba'olam hazeh sof atzlachatam. And if our success, our prosperity in this world was the end of our success and prosperity, imkei ma'itrona el Abraham al Nimrod Arasha. What was the big deal that Abraham stood up to Nimrod? Kizem malach ba'kipad, Abraham ha'yanava nad kol ha'yamim, mishalach me'olol. Nimrod stayed as, you know, the king of, you know, Babylon or whatever, and Abraham became a wanderer. What's the point? The point is, there's more to it. It's more complex, right? It's more complex. Hashem is with us. V'chein Yitzchak v'Yaakov, lo yadana mehayel lehem min aschar miti. We don't really know what their physical reward was. Yaakov had the most difficult life. But guess what? Yaakov is Bachir Sheba Avot. Yaakov is Yisrael. Yaakov, because why? The word Yisrael comes from the word what? To struggle. To struggle. To struggle with God, but to know that God is still with you. Who cares that there'll be a Jewish people that'll inherit the land of Israel if everything ends right when they died? It doesn't. It continues. It goes on. And he's talking about before there was a state of Israel, right? This is several hundred years ago. And he's like, even people who live in Israel now, oh, you're living in Israel, that's nice. But you know, you have this, you know, you have the Mamelukes, and you have the Christians, and you have the, you know, and they're ruling over you. What does that really matter? Ein zekim sherav tuv hatzafun latzadikim uchelkam nachlatam shalavot v'shel kol toldotem keyetzubahem ki Torah achas l'kulam. The idea being, I always say this to people, what's the biggest proof that you have to Hashem? I say, look at the fact that the Jewish people are still here today. There's no answer. Everyone say, you know, non-Jewish, right? The famous Mark Twain and, you know, and other, you know, philosophers and thinkers, and they look at this and they say, it's not possible. And yet we're here, right? And so on a certain level, right, that seems to be, you know, supernatural, right? That we still exist. But the reality is actually, maybe we could say that it's not. Maybe we could say that just as the existence of the soul is just a natural consequence of being a part of God, maybe the existence and the continued existence of the Jewish people is a natural consequence of being a partner with God. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us just as much as we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the world needs us in that partnership with Hashem as much as a world needs to exist. The world needs the Jewish people. Shkoyach, everyone. Rechananim Kasher Metzik, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lezak Yisrael, Ficha.
It's going to be over there at 8:10.
What?
They're going to get it over there at 8:10. We don't have a minion here.
We don't have a minion?
No.
That's enough.
Okay.
Okay, forget it. Okay. Who wants to bench for us?